the bell.
Pretty good, huh? We almost had one of Maya doing that, but she wasn't quite as interested in performing to the camera as she is off camera. You know how that goes. But this girl was pretty fantastic. But anyway, I wanted this song to introduce our theme for the sermon this morning, which is Let It Go. We'll borrow the phrase from the popular song from the movie Frozen. And I am not encouraging you to follow the other theme of that song, which says, I don't care about anything. That is not my sermon for you today. But it is my message today to let some things go. So the slide behind me now says, welcome to the kingdom of God. When a person confesses their belief in Jesus as the Son of God and repents of their sins and makes him their Lord, they have passed over from death into life, is what Scripture tells us, and by God's mercy, they have then been made into members of the kingdom of God. Now, you of course know that the kingdom of God is not solely found at Calvary Baptist Church. In fact, the kingdom is not tied to any building at all. The kingdom is wherever its members are. This particular group of members of the kingdom of God often meets in this building to worship the Lord. And so I say to you as you enter here today, welcome to the kingdom of God. Jesus is our king, and he's established a kingdom. And of course, the Bible tells us that he will return again one day to vanquish all things in this world that are standing against him and his values, and at that point, God will reassert his authority and rule over the entire world, though at this point, he has allowed people and principalities, if they so choose, to stand against him. But make no mistake, the kingdom of God is alive and well, even in this era of the kingdom, in our present era. Now, my audience here today, of course, is primarily made up of my fellow subjects of the kingdom, and I am primarily talking to you this morning, but if you are not yet a member of the kingdom of God, you need to become one. I'll just say that up front, right? In fact, it's a matter of life and death, and I would love it if today was the day that you would become subject to the true king. Now, to my fellow subjects of the kingdom. Let me tell you something about life in the kingdom of God. And this is my thesis statement for you here today. So my main assertion, so you'll want to listen to this. Members of the kingdom of God do not need to hold on to pain, bitterness, guilt, shame, anger, hatred, resentment, poor self-image, anxiety, or sinful behavior. When you become a member of the kingdom of God, you should increasingly be able to let those things go out of your life. Doesn't mean that these things are not present in the kingdom of God. They certainly are in this era of the kingdom, because we are still living, even though we're in the kingdom, we're also in the world, and terrible things happen in the world, and we still have brokenness and sin inside of us, and so the kingdom in its full effect doesn't come till the next era. In this era of the kingdom, this stage, these things are present, but my message for you today is that they don't need to stick around when you're a member of the kingdom. If you're a member of the kingdom of God and you're struggling with pain, bitterness, guilt, shame, anger, hatred, resentment, poor self-image, anxiety, sinful behavior, my message to you today is that you can be free from those things. The more you know the king, the more you understand the kingdom, the more characteristics like these ought to just melt right out of you. See, one of the great words that describes the kingdom of God is that word freedom. Prophet Isaiah promised that the Messiah would come to set the captives free, and that's exactly what he did. So if you struggle with some of this stuff, follower of Jesus, you can be free. Now, I I've been around the block enough to know that my telling you to be free of these things may not necessarily make it a reality in your life. Even you telling yourself that, even if you believe it, sometimes it's not enough to make those changes effective and real, it seems. So let me explain what we're going to do here this morning. I'm going to make some general comments at the outset about the need to let go of these types of things that we've been talking about here, pain, bitterness, poor, self-image, etc., when you're in the kingdom. But I'm actually going to probably, spend the bulk of my time this morning trying to offer some help to the Christian who knows the truth already, but who has found themselves unable to let go and be free from these things. They've tried it just hasn't worked completely. So we're going to address the person today who needs more than just a verbal pronouncement to be free. We'll spend a good amount of time on that today. See if we can't help you get unstuck and moving towards freedom. But let me get the ball rolling first here by just offering some basic explanation of why you ought to be able to get free from these destructive characteristics once you've become a member of the kingdom of God. So my friends, my fellow members of the kingdom, are you holding on still to guilt, to shame over things that happened long ago? You've confessed those sins and asked for forgiveness, but you're still feeling guilty, beating yourself up, feeling unworthy, feeling shame. Well, now would be a good time to remind you of some things that are true in the kingdom of God. If we confess our sins to God, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You have been made clean. A reminder, as far as the east is from the west, so far as He removed your transgressions from you. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is passed away. There is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. His mercies are new every morning. Praise the Lord, right? Why are you holding on to guilt and to shame? Let it go. Let it go. Let it melt away from you. You've been set free by God. So start to live in that freedom. Now, guilt has its place. If the guilt that you're feeling is due to current sin in your life, then that's appropriate and healthy. Perhaps you are holding on to something else that doesn't belong in the kingdom of God when you are a member of the kingdom. Perhaps you're holding on to some sinful behavior. You know that we are called by our loving and merciful King to get rid of sin. Let it go. Drop that sin. Live in the freedom from sin that has already been accomplished for you in the spiritual realm. You already are free, so let's start to make that consistent with the physical realm. Let that sin go. Member of the kingdom of God, are you holding on to pain? Pain from being treated unfairly, incorrectly, perhaps even abusively by people in the past? Do you continue to play over those experiences in your mind? Maybe you feel like for the most part you kind of have shut those things out, but you find within yourself this undercurrent of anger, bitterness beneath the surface. Maybe it's not even beneath the surface. Maybe resentment and hatred is something that you battle on a daily basis. Now, by no means do I want to minimize pain that you have experienced that likely is the cause of these feelings within you. I know some of your stories, and terrible, terrible things have happened to some of the people that attend this church. But I do want to say this to you this morning. If you are holding tightly to that pain and that anger and that bitterness, then you're not living consistent with your status as a member in the kingdom of God. Jesus, our King, the one who heals us and who loves us and who forgives us, forgives our many sins, has instructed people over and over in his teaching that just as we have been forgiven, we need to forgive. Now, you don't go automatically to forgiveness right away. I'm not saying that. Some situations need to be confronted. Some things need to be worked through with the person who has hurt you. Sometimes boundaries are necessary. But at some point along the line, you have to let it go. You have to get to forgiveness. What's creating that anger in you, that bitterness, that negativity? Boy, when you come into the kingdom of God, your life should begin to be marked by freedom and love and peace, not anger and bitterness and resentment. Something isn't right if your life struggling with those things, those latter things. You need to dig into this and somehow get to the point of being able to let that stuff go. And the answer likely lies in forgiveness. Seek forgiveness and mercy, harmony, reconciliation, peace. Follow the example of your King, who was even willing to forgive those who nailed him to the cross. Be free of these things that are tormenting you. Member of the kingdom of God, do you struggle with poor self-image? If so, you still have more to learn about life in the kingdom, about who your King is, about who you are. We're going to talk about that more in a bit. Member of the kingdom of God, you struggle with anxiety. So many of us do. Really, it shouldn't be a part of the kingdom. Now, don't get me wrong. We're in this era of the kingdom. There are still plenty of things that can go wrong and be painful in this world of evil and sin and brokenness. Even in our church relationships, things can get messy at times because of our sin or our immaturity or maybe even just misunderstandings. But the difference between life outside the kingdom and life inside the kingdom is that inside the kingdom, the Lord God goes with you. He goes beside you. There is nothing that you're going to face in life that he cannot lead you through. Kingdom members, we still live in the world, but in a sense, we've transcended it because our fate is secure with him. So, do not fear, for I am with you. It says, God says in Isaiah 41, do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him. He'll make your path straight. You can cast all your anxiety on him because he cares about you. Of course, Philippians 4, be anxious in nothing, but by prayer and petition and everything with thanksgiving, present your request to God, and the peace of God that transcends all understanding will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Peace! Now that is a characteristic of someone who has their feet firmly planted in the kingdom of God. Let your anxiety go. Rest in the Lord. Trust in him. Let it go. Lift up all your concerns and your worries and place them in his hands. And of course, in that act of placing them in his hands, that does mean that you have to let go. With some people, it is just as easy as saying, be anxious in nothing. Present your requests to God and have peace. Some people just need the reminder now and then, and then they can access that peace. But other folks, with other folks saying the Bible verse to yourself, even believing that it's true, sometimes doesn't cut it. You still feel anxious. Anxious thoughts, feelings of low self-esteem, the call to forgive those who have done great harm to you and who have caused anger and pain in your life, these things can be very difficult to pull yourself out of, even when you know that these characteristics really ought not to be present in the members of the kingdom of God. So what's the answer here? Let's transition now into this conversation about situations where the words just don't seem to be enough. How do you get from where you are right now to where you want to be, where you ought to be? If you've been listening to these things this morning and you know that some of this describes you and your current situation, I have 7 suggestions for you this morning that I hope perhaps will be a formula for you to help you get unstuck and moving towards experiencing the freedom that you ought to be feeling as a member of God's kingdom. First suggestion is this, and I'm sorry, I've got bare-bone slides today. I can get this stuff to you later if you want. First suggestion is this, don't forget history. Don't forget history. And I'm not talking about the history of humankind now. I'm talking about your personal history. Assuming you've been alive long enough to have experienced some of life, think back in your personal history to a time when God really came through for you. Something happened in your life and you just knew it was from the hand of God. Think back to that time when you just really felt His love. You know, we can't let ourselves forget those moments, those experiences. He was there, which means He's still here today. He's trustworthy. You have experienced Him. Therefore, you really can cast your cares upon Him, even today. So when you're struggling to let go of anxiety or pain caused by others in your life, don't forget the times that God has shown up for you in your past. Don't forget His love for you. Don't forget your experiences of Him. Let go of any doubts that are hindering you in moving forward. Don't forget history. He's still there. Next suggestion, and we'll actually spend a bit of time on this one. Align your thinking with the truth. Align your thinking with the truth. Okay, I just got done saying that sometimes knowing the Bible verses and saying them to yourself, even believing they are true, sometimes it just doesn't get you quite over that hump of being able to let go of the types of things we're talking about this morning. Though that may be true, it does not lessen the importance of knowing the Word of God and of searing it into your brain. You see, this world is full of lies. It's full of people who will tell you lies about yourself. It's full of spiritual beings that want you to believe lies about yourself. And when you live in a world full of lies, how important is it for you to be grounded in truth, to be bathed in it, to be immersed in it? Correct ideas are extremely important. Back in college, I knew a gal who had anorexia. I wasn't real close to her, but I had talked with her enough to know that she really genuinely believed that she was overweight. Now, God has made us with all kinds of different body shapes. He loves us equally. I'm not wanting to comment here about the subject of a person's physical fitness, but the truth of the matter in her situation was that this girl was most definitely not overweight. In fact, she was quite thin. It was plain for anybody to see. But it didn't matter how many people told her this. When she looked in the mirror, she saw an overweight person. Her mind had become convinced of a lie. And this lie had major effects upon her life. She was emotionally unhappy, and because of some of the behaviors she engaged in due to her obsession with weight, she had become physically unhealthy. Isn't that interesting? It was just an idea, just a concept floating around her brain. But it was an idea that was causing real-life terrible consequences for her body and her relationships and her day-to-day functioning. So you can see that believing correct ideas is very important to our health. We need to know the truth and to be operating out of the truth. So again, I say to you how important it is that we align our thinking with the truth. Where do we find the truth? We find it in the Word of God. And if you are struggling with letting go of some of these things we're talking about this morning, I want to suggest to you that a great place to start looking for the truth that comes from God's Word is to learn what it teaches about who you are. Member of the kingdom of God, you were made in the image of the God of the universe. You were created to rule over the earth. It tells us in Genesis. And when God made you, He looked at you and said, "This is very good." He knit you together in your mother's womb. Psalm 139 says, "You are fearfully and wonderfully made." In Ephesians 2:10, it says that you are God's masterpiece, His workmanship. And oh, how He loves you. The Apostle Paul at one point just longed for his readers to understand how wide and how long and how high and how deep is the love of God for them, is the love of God for you. He loves you so much he was willing to die for you. Do you remember that Downton Abbey illustration we did a few weeks back where I applied our having been brought into the kingdom of God to that TV show? No, I had to embellish the TV show a bit to make it fit our situation. I said the story would have to go like this, that each of the servants working at Downton Abbey would have had to have been personally picked up off the streets by Lord Crawley as they laid there sick and dying and without hope. And after he picked them up, then Lord Crawley would have given them food and shelter and medical care until they were healthy again. He would have given them jobs and responsibilities in his estate. And then to top it all off, he would have adopted each servant as his own children and made them heirs of all his wealth. Incredible story. And this is your story. This is who you are. You were a sinner. You are a sinner, destined. You were destined for death and without hope, but Jesus Christ rescued you from that and moved you into a place where you could receive shelter and sustenance and health. He's given you a job to do in the kingdom. You have a purpose. And to top it all off, he has adopted you as his own child. John 1:12, but to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. He has plans for you, give you a future and a hope, right? Oh, Zephaniah 3:17 says, he rejoices over you with singing. My goodness, this is who you are. And any message that you have received from this world to the contrary is a lie. The message that you are nothing more than dust in the wind here today and gone tomorrow. The message that you are no good. The message that nobody likes you and you aren't worth anybody's time. The message that you're not special in any way and you were never good enough. The message that everything that went wrong was your fault and it's always your fault. The message that you might as well accept such and such thing because you aren't worth anything truly good or special anyway. The message that it is your job to make everybody else happy. The message that you always make bad decisions and say stupid things. The message that you deserved the abuse you got. The message that God hates you because he let that thing happen to you. The message that you will always be a screw-up and you won't ever amount to anything. All lies. All of them. The truth is, that the maker of sun and stars and earth, your maker, says that you are immensely valuable to him. That's who you are. And any contrary messages floating around in your head are lies, and you need to let them go. Align your thinking with the truth of God's word. Now, for some who have been fed lies steadily in their lives by the world or by loved ones, especially those who heard those lies regularly in their childhood years, it is going to take time for you to record over those false messages with the true ones. I believe this is why just repeating a Bible verse now and then to yourself doesn't always do the trick for some people. The lies and the corrupted patterns of thinking have been so implanted deeply into your brain and your psyche. Psychologist Gregory Jantz says this, the messages of the world can be recorded over by relearning and reclaiming your sense of self. And he says, it is high time you found out about the real you. He says that you were created by God to have emotional freedom, to have inner peace, strong self-esteem. You were created to feel special and appreciated, to feel that you have value and to feel good about yourself. He says that you now must make a commitment to resist thinking of yourself in the murky, damaged light of the messages of this world, because the reality is that you are a beautiful and bright creation of God. So this is a process. It's going to take time. But you can heal, say the psychologists. You can heal over time. You can live in the truth of who you really are and eventually let go of those lies and the shame and the pain and the anger. So part of that process, according to Andrea Groenwald of Power to Change Ministries, is to recognize when you're entering in during your day, when you're entering into those patterns of thinking or behaving that are based upon the lies, and then interrupt that behavior and substitute it with thinking or behavior that is based upon the truth. Dr. Jantz says something similar. He says that when you start reacting to things with that incorrect pattern of thinking, pause, give yourself a moment to acknowledge that reaction, but then take control over your response. Stop and think what you want your response to reflect about who you are as a person. Choose to respond rather than to react. In addition, Dr. Jantz says that you need to learn to trust that you are an intelligent and a gifted human being. He says that people who have received, been bombarded with these incorrect messages in their lives often have learned to distrust their reactions and their responses. And so he says, now choose to trust your ability to make appropriate responses to situations you face in life. Make the best decisions you can and be proud of it. Don't wait for the approval of others. It may not come. Trust yourself. He tells people who are struggling in these areas to rediscover their gifts and their talents and then to begin to practice those things. These activities can remind you that God did give you gifts and talents. These things can begin to heal your self-esteem. But he also cautions people not to get into the trap that says that it's what you do that makes you special. Because the truth of God's word is that you are special just by being you. For those who have been wounded by lies, it'll take time. But part of that process is to keep soaking in the truth. We need to align our thinking to it. It's so important for our health. So learn and rehearse the words of God. Keep working at it, even if it doesn't seem to be helping at first. Keep plowing away. Keep memorizing. Keep saying them to yourself. You can heal from your wounds. The kingdom of God is about truth and healing and freedom. Praise the Lord. Okay, so that was suggestion number two, to align your thinking with the truth. And we spent a lot of time on that one. The other suggestions will go more quickly. Suggestion number three on how to get unstuck if you're having a hard time experiencing freedom, the freedom that you have as a member of the kingdom. Suggestion number three, we've already said it today, is to forgive. To forgive. Dr. Jantz has this to say. Anger can have the power to cleanse, but continued anger blocks healing. Maintaining a sense of outrage and resentment towards the unfairness of life and towards those who have abused you keeps you in bondage to a blaming mode. The anger ceases to cleanse, and it starts to control. In order for the anger to continue, you must constantly feed the fire, reliving and re-experiencing the anger and the rage, thus stoking the fires of blame. Blame continues the cycle. Forgiveness stops it. He says you're in total control over your power to forgive. Doesn't mean that you forget all that happened to you. It still hurts. But living obsessed with the pain only perpetuates the damage. Utilize the power of forgiveness liberally, he says. Everyone, including yourself, requires an awful lot of forgiveness. Of all the ways we can respond to each other, you can choose love, mercy, forgiveness. These will first enrich your life and then bless the lives of others. So again, the call here is to forgive, to let it go. The person or people who did wrong by you were wrong. But now you know the truth about who you are. And you have a God who is making you whole and right. So don't continue to allow the people who were wrong about you and to you to have power in your life. They're just people. Forgive. Move into God's light and truth. Let it go. Suggestion number four has a similar theme. It's to adjust your focus. Adjust your focus. Pastor John Snyder calls our attention to Philippians 3, verses 13 to 14. I'll read it for you. You'll remember it. Forgetting what is behind, straining towards what is ahead, I press on towards the goal to win the prize for which God called me heavenward in Christ Jesus. And Snyder goes on to write, Paul doesn't mean that we literally forget the past as if we could try to convince ourselves that those bad things didn't actually happen. I think he meant only that we aren't to keep the bad at the forefront of our minds, allowing it to shape our decisions and control our lives. He says we're to focus our attention on the future, to keep our eyes on that finish line with such concentration that nothing else can distract us. For example, he says, if you're running a hurdle race, you can't afford to think about the hurdle that you just hit and the pain in your leg. You can't afford to think about the person next to you who fell or the applause, shouting, or even cursing coming from the crowd. Your mind must be totally focused on the tape at the finish line. It's not that you're unaware of all of those things. It's only that you mustn't let yourself be influenced or controlled by any of it. There's something more important that should be occupying your attention. And so it is, he says, with all the mistreatment we receive, the mistakes we've made, the slander of our names, the misperceptions, the lost relationships, regrets, fraud, deception, everything else that can come our way in this life, we must not let anything control our decisions or thinking so much that we're thrown off course. And he says, with God's help, we have to let it go. If you're struggling to let things go, adjust your focus. Try to forget what is behind and strain towards what is ahead. Live life to the full and look forward to the goal. Adjust your focus. Suggestion number five, for those seeking to let go of things but finding it difficult too, is to resist isolation and pursue healthy relationships. Resist isolation, pursue healthy relationships. When we get stuck in hurt and in pain, and when we've been told lies about ourselves that we have started to believe, we often pull away from people and we isolate ourselves. It's not the way it should be. Not the way you were designed to be. It's not healthy for you to continue in that pattern. Dr. Jantz again. The path to emotional healing is not to forego relationships, but to seek to build healthy, loving relationships in which your three basic needs to be understood, to be accepted, and to be affirmed can be filled. Accept your need for healthy relationships and the fact that we are all interconnected one to another. And boy, you think about the wisdom of God in setting up the church for us, right? We need each other. Jantz counsels that we need to learn how to develop healthy relationships. And that comes with expecting there to be conflict now and then. We got to learn how to work through that conflict when it comes in healthy ways rather than running. Forgiveness, mercy, love, these things need to be practiced. Finally, Jantz says, evaluate your existing relationships through God's filter. Seek to strengthen and maintain those relationships that agree with God about who you are. In other words, think about the people you have relationships with in your life and choose to build the relationships with those people who reinforce the truth about who you are and not people who perpetuate the lies. Suggestion five, if you want to get unstuck, resist isolation, pursue healthy relationships. Number six, for those who are feeling stuck, is simply to consider working with a professional. You know, you can start by trying these things yourself. Take these suggestions home today. Try them for a while. If you're still feeling stuck, maybe you want to go to a friend of yours who's a mature follower of God. Talk it over with that person. Maybe they can see something that you're not seeing and help you get unstuck. I would be available for that kind of conversation. But if you still are feeling stuck after all of that, boy, there are good professional Christian counselors out there who have been trained in digging into these kinds of things, in going to the next level and helping people with these types of situations. Why not avail yourself of that resource? Don't stay stuck. get help in achieving the freedom you ought to be living in. Final suggestion then, number 7. And I'll use the psychologist's words here again to back up what you have heard me say 100 times before, if not more. Make God the top priority in your life. If you want to get unstuck, stay close to God. Dr. Jantz writes that you ought to work on your relationship with God each day through prayer. Talk to Him, get to know His voice, experience God through His Word, connect with God's Spirit. And then he says, especially if you have dealt with negative, destructive examples in your past, it is imperative that you constantly align yourself with God's overwhelmingly positive presence in your present and in your future. He will be your source of healing, forgiveness, and strength to rise above what was done to you by the sin of others. It's His desire to heal your broken heart and rebuild your damaged spirit. So make your relationship with Him the primary relationship in your life. Do this, and your ability to love yourself and others will multiply in the bounty of His love for you. So when you've heard the call to let go of anxiousness and low self-esteem and anger and pain, etc., but you've found yourself unable to accomplish that goal in your life, consider these things. Don't forget history. Remember that God has been there for you in the past. He's still there for you today. Align your thinking with the truth. Know the truth about who you are. Don't listen to the lies any longer. Let them go. Forgive people. Forgive. Let it go. Adjust your focus. Move away from a focus on the past. Move your focus into the present and the future. Resist isolation. Pursue healthy relationships. Consider working with a professional. And make God your top priority in life. My intent today has been to remind you that you are members of the kingdom of God, and that there is absolutely no need for a member of the kingdom to continue holding on to pain, bitterness, guilt, shame, anger, hatred, resentment, poor self-image, anxiety, or sinful behavior. I'm calling for you to let it go. Now, regardless of whether you are a person for which letting go is going to be perhaps a lengthy process due to the woundedness that you are working out of, that you're healing from, or you're a person who may not need such a long process to let go of some of these destructive things in your life. Long process or not, the effort of letting go does need a point in time when you have committed to the act of releasing. When you realize that you're in the kingdom of freedom and healing and love and forgiveness, and you don't need to hold on to those things anymore. There needs to be a moment in time when you make a decision to let it go. I want to give you this morning an opportunity to mark today as the day you start to pry open your fingers and to let go of something that you have been holding on to needlessly, inappropriately. So what I'm going to do now is ask some of the deacons to, well, the deacons, if you would come down front now. And in a moment, I'm going to have Dallas play a song for you over on the soundboard there. It's a song that you'll know and that's going to fit a lot of what we've been talking about here today, about who you truly are as a member of the kingdom of God. And when Dallas starts to play that song, I want to invite you to make a mark in time today by coming down front to make a commitment to God to let that thing go. If and when you come down front, you have a choice. You can kneel or sit by yourself and just deal with that issue between you and God. Or if you would like, the deacons are here available for you to tell that person about your new commitment and to pray over that thing. What is it that God's calling you to let go of today?
Oh, I've heard a thousand stories of what they think you're like, but I've heard the tender whisper of love in the dead of night, and you tell me that you're pleased and that I'm never alone. You're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I'm loved by you. It's who I am. It's who I am. It's who I am. Oh, and I've seen many searching for as you call. It's who I am.